Welcome. Thank you for tuning in again to the Bible Believers Broadcast, brought to you by the Bible Believers Church of South Lyon, Michigan. We continue now as Pastor Mike takes us through the book of John.
All right. Well, it's good to be back with you here today. I'd like to pick up where we left off a couple of weeks ago. Last week, we actually heard a message that was preached here at the church a while back, and we edited that into three separate broadcasts and listened to that last week. The reason for that was that we were out of the country in Mexico on a missions trip, and I'm telling you, we had a wonderful time. We went there to Leon, the cities of Leon and Puebla, and the purpose of going was to try to be a blessing to those folks there in Mexico who are serving Jesus Christ. There was a second-generation mission work there. Some American missionaries from San Antonio had headed down there 30 years ago to start a work. And now the Lord has blessed, and at this point, the American missionaries are gone from Leon, and it's just the Mexican nationals continuing the work and serving Jesus Christ. And God really blessed, and we went with the effort and the hope of trying to be a blessing and an encouragement to those churches there. And God really did bless our time. There's an American missionary in Puebla we were with for part of our time, and he's establishing a new work in Puebla and hoping, Lord willing, to turn that over to some Mexican nationals after they get grown in the faith and prepared by God to be leaders in the church there. He plans on turning that work over and moving on. But what a great time we had going with the intention of seeing souls saved and trying to be a blessing to the Christians. And I'll just tell you, I feel like they were more of a blessing to us than we were to them. What a rebuke. What an edifying trip it was to see these faithful Christians, faithful in Jesus Christ, serving the Lord. And they don't even have a church building. We met in Leon, the churches that were there. We were meeting in a park. And how much of a rebuke was that? 30-year-old church, been there serving Jesus Christ, preaching the gospel for 30 years, carry their banjos in, guitars in, tambourines in for the church service, carrying their own chairs, setting up in a city park and singing and praising the Lord in public and preaching and testifying and worshiping God. And they've been going on about that for 30 years without a church building. What a blessing. Actually send out missionaries, have local pastors that they support, and missionaries they sent out of their church, and I never even purchased a building to meet in. My goodness, man. I mean, thank God the weather is favorable to it. In the wintertime, it gets a little chilly in the mornings, but nothing too bad. But in the summertime, it's blistering hot, and they're still faithful to get out there and sit in the hot sun with no air conditioning and worship the Lord. And it doesn't rain often, but when it does rain, they bring their umbrellas and they sit in the park with their umbrellas and still worship God. My word, man, nowadays people won't come to church if the pews aren't comfortable enough. Here in the United States, if the air conditioning's not on, if we don't have heat, if we don't like the building, if it's not fancy enough. I mean, how carnal and how shallow are we? I'm telling you, man. It's a real rebuke and a real thought-provoking trip that it was. But we're back at it there now this week in the book of John, picking up where we left off. We finished chapter 2 the last time, and we're going to start into chapter 3 today. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse number 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now, first thing I notice as I'm reading through here is the first phrase, how his whole chapter begins. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees. A man of the Pharisees, named Nicodemus. Now, of the Pharisees is a prepositional phrase. So it says there was a man named Nicodemus. We'll get back to that prepositional phrase of the Pharisees in just a little bit. First of all, the first thing that jumped out at me is that God noticed, Jesus Christ noticed, the Holy Spirit noticed, and put down in pen in the Word of God a specific individual, a man. Boy, that's important to understand. It's important to understand that it's not just a man he noticed, but he knows the man's name, named Nicodemus. My friend, this morning, Jesus Christ is interested in you as an individual. He knows you by name. He cares about you. See, this is interesting because as we wrapped up chapter number 2, the Bible has given us a plural generality where the Bible says Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. So God, the Lord Jesus Christ, knows us. He knows us individually. He knows us as a human being and as a human nature with our human spirit. He knows us as a whole and understands how we're wired. He knows what's in man. Not only does he know us all generally, but he knows every one of us individually. And as we transition from chapter 2 into chapter number 3, you notice that switch where Jesus Christ goes from talking about mankind and how mankind is wired and how he understands us and what's in us and therefore knows how to speak to us and how to reach us. But above and beyond that, and even, I guess, more importantly, or I could say more personally, he knows us individually. Jesus Christ knew this man named Nicodemus. He knows him personally. You know, three things that all men ask. It doesn't matter what country you go to, where in the world, there's three things every person on the planet is concerned about. One, number one, where did I come from? You see, this is where science and all these atheists and all this education gets its rooting. Trying to get rid of the source of where we've come from. Trying to say that there is no creator. There is nobody for us to answer to. We just kind of happen to be. Well, they're trying to answer the question, where did I come from? The second question is, why am I here? Well, religion tries to answer both of these. Where did I come from? Why am I here? Corporations try to answer that. Politics try to answer that. What is my purpose in life? Well, your purpose in life is to make money, to climb the ladder of success, to outdo the other guy, to get something new. Advertisers all try to satisfy that need down in the soul of mankind. Music tries to satisfy that need. Why am I here? Religion tries to answer that. And they tell you that you're here to perform good works and to do good to your fellow man and to love others. But nothing could be farther from the truth, really. Where am I going? Now that's the big question. Where am I going? All the religions of this world try to answer that question. And yet no man can answer that question because every man has those three questions in his heart. Friends, what we need is to get those answers from Jesus Christ, from the Word of God, the Bible. You see, where did I come from? That question is answered in the Word of God. Why am I here? What is my purpose on this earth? That question is also answered in the Word of God. And where am I going? Well, that's an important question to answer. See, you got to know where you came from so that you can know who it is that's going to give you the answers to where you're going. And once you know where you came from and where you're going, then you can figure out why you're here. Then you can understand why you ought to be good to your fellow man, why you ought to love others, why you ought to have works that would please the Lord. But until you know where you came from and until you know where you're going, you can't possibly know why you're here. Friend, this chapter, John chapter number 3, spells out in the Word of God so plainly and so beautifully. It's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible to preach from. It spells out beautifully what it means to be born again. First of all, you need to understand that Jesus Christ knows you. He knows you individually. He knows every single thing there is to know about you. He knows every sin you've ever committed, everything you've gotten away with that no man has known or no man could ever know. He knows every thought of your heart. He knows every intention and every motive behind what you do. He sees it all. He sees your jealousy. He sees your envy. He sees your covetousness. He sees your lies. He sees your hypocrisy. He sees your thoughts. He sees your lust. He sees every single thing there is about you. He sees your hate. He sees your greed. He sees every single thing there is to see about you. And he knows you individually, and he knows what is in you down deep in the deepest recesses of your soul and spirit. Jesus Christ sees it and knows it all. And that's a scary thought. Why is that scary? Because we know what the Bible says. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know the Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Bible says there is none righteous. No, not one. The Bible says that we all are as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. You say, but preacher, I'm a good man. I'm a good woman. I'm faithful to church. I give. My good works outweigh my bad works. I try to do good to my enemies. I help the little old lady across the street. I'm a good person. I'm faithful to my spouse. I love my children and treat them right. Well, so was Nicodemus. He was a good man. You see, in verse number one, it says a man of the Pharisees. Now, why is that important? That's important because a Pharisee was somebody who lived a religious life above and beyond that of any Christian I know of anywhere. I mean, there are some denominations that preach all kinds of stuff. You know, they're so obsessed with separation and with quote-unquote holiness. I'm all for holiness the Bible way. But I do not believe that perfecting the flesh is the holiness that God's talking about. In other words, wearing certain types of clothes and combing your hair or cutting your hair a certain way. All these things that religions try to do to make one look righteous on the outside. I mean, the most extreme of those quote-unquote Christian groups that do these kind of things still don't match the holy living of a Pharisee. These Pharisees were so devout, they were so dedicated. They were living a life that was just squeaky clean. I mean, they were good men. This man, Nicodemus, is a Pharisee. He's living a life that's just, in every way, he's doing everything he can to live up to the law. And on top of that, he's a ruler of the Jews. So not only is this man a very religious man and a very clean man religiously, but above and beyond that, he's a man everybody respects. I mean, if Nicodemus walked in the room, we'd say, there's Nicodemus. Joe, did you see who's here? Nicodemus is here, a ruler of the Jews. So he's a successful man with a good reputation, a great character, and a great work ethic. So he's an individual, a man. Jesus knows his name. He's a good guy from all outward appearances, very religious, very devout, with good works, a Pharisee. And above and beyond that, he's a ruler of the Jews. He's got a great testimony, a great reputation in town. Everybody loves him. Everybody would say Nicodemus is just a great man. I mean, if anybody has a shot at getting into heaven, it is Nicodemus. We all know what a good guy he is. Nicodemus is the man. And yet, in this passage of scripture, Jesus Christ tells him, except ye a man, except you could say Nicodemus, except you could say Mike Reagan, except you could say insert whatever your name is, friend, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now that came out of the mouth of Jesus. You have an issue with it, you take it up with him. Tomorrow we'll look at what it means to be born again. Until then, God bless you.
And that's it for today's broadcast. Be sure to tune in tomorrow and every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 5:15 p.m. If you would like to catch up on any of these broadcasts that you may have missed, you can do so online at the Bible Believers Church website at www.bbcosl.com. You can contact Pastor Mike directly, and we would love to hear from you and your reaction from any of these broadcasts. Please, like our Facebook page at the Bible Believers Church of South Lyon for continuous updates. And be sure to tune in again tomorrow at 5:15 p.m. God bless.